Good morning. I'm George Herman with the CBS World News Roundup. The leaders of the major free world industrial nations get down to work in the charmingly reconstructed and restored colonial town of Williamsburg, Virginia today. We get two reports on what's ahead, one from White House correspondent Deborah Potter, the other from UN correspondent Richard C. Hotlett.
The president will meet and greet his counterparts today at a series of formal arrival ceremonies planned to go off like clockwork every half hour throughout the afternoon. He'll then meet separately with British Prime Minister Thatcher and French President Mitterrand before hosting the first of the all-American meals the leaders will have during the three-day summit. Mr. Reagan is going into the meetings with a strong sense of optimism. He insists he doesn't expect any confrontations, and he believes the summit can conclude with an upbeat statement, as he put it, that we're on our way out, that we can obtain a lasting recovery without any resort to the quick fixes of the past. But Mr. Reagan is prepared for criticism. The United States has been blamed at previous summits for the economic problems of the other countries, and this time won't be any exception. It's no longer inflation they're complaining about, it's deficits. But Mr. Reagan has made it clear he won't change his policies, insisting the recovery is the best way to eliminate deficits. That may not satisfy his critics, but that's what they're going to hear. Deborah Potter, CBS News, Williamsburg.
This is Richard C. Hotlett. The five men and one woman whom President Reagan welcomes to Williamsburg today have more on their minds than economics. They're also greatly concerned about political decisions that are closely linked. For instance, military expenditure contributes to huge budget deficits that distort the economy and impede recovery. Arms control agreements could hold them in check. If everything reasonable has been done to get agreement, but has failed, public opinion would more readily accept defense measures. Canada's Trudeau will urge Mr. Reagan to meet Soviet leader Andropov. West Germany's Kohl, who faces opposition at home to the deployment of American medium-range missiles, goes to Moscow in July. He would like to tell Andropov that the United States would really prefer arms limitation. Japan, being unarmed, feels deeply about arms control, with the Soviets building up their forces in the Western Pacific. And Japan is worried that the possible withdrawal of SS-20 missiles from Europe may simply see them deployed in the Far East. Big politics and big economics hang closely together. Richard C. Hotlett, CBS News, Williamsburg.
As correspondent Hotlett reported earlier in this broadcast, America's European allies have an interest in disarmament and the scheduled placement of intermediate-range nuclear missiles on European soil. Even more interested in that subject, of course, is the Soviet Union, as Elizabeth Gillette reports from Moscow.
The Soviet Union today warned it would deploy more nuclear weapons in Eastern Europe, both on Soviet soil and that of its Warsaw Pact allies, if NATO proceeds with plans to install American medium-range missiles in Western Europe later this year. The government statement, published in today's Pravda newspaper, contained a veiled warning that the Soviet Union may also target new missiles directly at the United States. Moscow has repeatedly warned it would retaliate if U.S. Pershing II and cruise missiles are deployed in Western Europe, barring settlement at the Geneva arms negotiation talks. But today's statement made those warnings more explicit. It said the Soviet Union would be forced to reconsider its moratorium announced last year on installation of new triple warhead SS-20 missiles targeted on Western Europe. NATO contends this moratorium has never been fully observed. Western analysts say, in addition, that at least 10 new SS-20 missile bases are under construction in Siberia, apparently aimed at Asian countries. Elizabeth Gillette for CBS News, Moscow.
Some radio stations in Beirut are reporting that Israeli aircraft ran into anti-aircraft fire over Lebanon today. No damage, but the report adds to the tension in that country, as we hear from CBS News correspondent Doug Tunnell in Beirut.
The guns have fallen silent now. Police say Israeli army units enforced a ceasefire at dawn. But you can still see the militiamen manning roadblocks on the way into the mountains. And you can hear the complaints of East Beirut residents kept awake all night by the thud of artillery rounds and rockets crashing into their neighborhoods. As if there wasn't enough tension between all the various armies in Lebanon already, the Israeli army is on full alert and monitoring Syrian military maneuvers further east. And despite the Lebanese government's desire to secure a troop withdrawal, the only sign of a pullback is at the U.S. Marine Corps headquarters near the airport. Most of the 1,200 men of the 22nd Marine Amphibious Unit are only one day away from going home. Their replacements are just offshore, making ready to land tomorrow morning. After dark, the new Marine peacekeeping contingent, too, will be able to see the tracer bullets and hear the rocket fire in those troubled hills above the airport. Doug Tunnell, CBS News, Beirut.
Think of a sports car. The Datsun 280ZX comes to mind first. No wonder. The Z car has captured 11 national racing championships in 12 years. But the ZX is more than just performance. The styling is classic. The fuel-injected engine, a technological miracle. And inside, all the inside. AM-FM stereo with cassette, vocalized warning system, cruise control. Choose optional leather seats, and electronic digital instrumentation comes with them. For the truly adventuresome, there's the 5-speed Turbo ZX, an absolute blur on wheels. Turbo or standard ZX, it is all together now. Awesome. See the 280ZX in 2 plus 2 or 2-seater at your Datsun dealer.
The United States will soon send 100 American military advisors to the tiny Central American nation of Honduras. Their job will be to train troops from El Salvador in the arts of guerrilla warfare. In Panama City, the four-nation Contadora group of Latin American foreign ministers sits down today to talk about negotiating peace in Central America. Five other Latin American foreign ministers are also sitting in, but the original four carry the main burden, as George Nathanson reports from Mexico City.
For the four-nation Contadora group meeting in Panama today, developments in Central America this past week have increased the danger of a regional war. The foreign ministers of Mexico, Venezuela, Colombia, and Panama, however, indicate they will continue seeking negotiated settlements in the area instead of the U.S.-supported military solution. This is especially true of Mexico, which appears to counter every U.S. move. This country claims no leading role in Latin America, but its increasing influence in the area is beginning to rival that of the United States, much to Washington's displeasure. The Mexican stand of negotiations and non-intervention is steadily winning adherents in Europe, parts of Asia, and Latin America. Mexico will not accept Washington's domino theory that this country would be next in line to fall if the revolutionaries were successful in Central America. What Mexico wants is for the U.S., the Soviet Union, and all others who might be involved to get out of Central America and let the Central Americans seek their own solutions within a nationalist framework. George Nathanson, CBS News, Mexico City.
Congressman Bill Alexander of Arkansas, part of the Democratic leadership of the House of Representatives, was also in Panama City, conferring with the peacemaking foreign ministers. He says the Panama City talks could provide the key element in the Democratic Party's program of opposition to the Reagan administration and its Central America policy. Alexander opposes the massive military aid being given to El Salvador and other pro-American nations, and he will urge that his party endorse negotiations as the way to settle a war in El Salvador. A series of 20 bombs went off in Lima, Peru last night. Three public utility towers were damaged, and there was an hour's blackout. EPA Administrator William Ruckelshaus says his embattled agency needs the full support of the White House. He told the Washington Post people tend to think of his agency as being at odds with any Republican White House.